My hair's starting to fro up again. It's awesome. Like, in the past, like, 2 to 3 days, it started to, like, curl massively.
Dude, if you want it to fro faster, there's a strategy you can use. You walk up to a light socket and you stick your fingers in.
Let's kick this shit off.
Let's do it.
It's episode zero of the new Perfectly Sane Show. Got a whole new cast.
Reformatted.
Yes,
for your pleasure.
Reformatted. Ribbed. You know, lubricated up. Everything.
Whatever you want to go with.
Extra thin.
Extra thin.
For his pleasure.
With me today, I got a... Tony Odette, better known as Napoleon 1066.
How y'all doing?
Got a Jeff Derrickson, best known as Just Some Dude.
All across the internet.
Yes, everywhere. And Cyrus Fayazi.
Nice.
He's like internet personality extraordinary. He's everywhere. I don't like everybody's podcast in the last.
I'm like Donald Trump. I like to put my name into everything. So,
like, give it the.
And
Fozzie
he's got
stand.
Really bad hair.
not for long. Don't you worry about my fro. It'll be beautiful.
This episode zero, we're kind of like just gonna get you guys give everybody a feel of what we're about. You know who we are, what we like. Best way to do that is we're just gonna go over, you know, some of our favorite games and movies, TV shows and shit from the year. Before that, why don't we like tell everybody what we kind of been up to recently?
I have been playing some Castlevania actually with Jeff the other day, and we played with Sean and Brian. You guys know, and so. I'm not really a huge Castlevania fan, and I know why, because that on single player would be so ridiculously hard. It's not even scaled at, like, at all. The hit points stay the same for the game. So, I mean, it is fun, though, when you have, you know, four people, five people with you. But, I don't know. That game, I can only play with multiplayer, and besides that, I have... gone back and did another playthrough of Uncharted 2 and Mass Effect 2 as well.
Still
haven't
finished.
How many playthroughs of ME2 is that now?
That's only two for me. I'm on my second one, like I'm halfway through now, so.
You're on like the low end of the scale for some people.
Yeah, I know, right? Sharp Shot's probably on like number six by now.
Yeah, I play through
that
once.
Game like once a week.
Yeah, he does. It's crazy.
So many other games to play too, like.
That's my problem. Yeah. Like, if you play through that game, it's like 30 hours.
Yeah.
That's like an entire week of gaming for me.
Yeah. And the thing was, I was hoping that during the summer I could get my backlog, like, down any, but I've got so many games within the past week. I have StarCraft 2, which I still really want to beat. I borrowed Endless Ocean from Bees, which is a Wii game. It's kind of like the underwater one. I have Alan Wake, Deadly Premonition, Fuel, NCAA. It's just so many right now. It's crazy. Can't do it.
That is a plethora of good games there,
that's
too.
All in the past right, 2 weeks. All in the past 2 weeks. I have, like, quadrupled my gaming, like, collection.
Have you tried Deadly Premonition yet? I've got an...
No, I haven't.
Here. I haven't even...
I really want to, but I really don't want to get sucked into a different game. I need beat one to get to another one.
Then that game's about 20 hours too. So
yeah, exactly. So
Chris, I saw you finished it.
I did.
What'd you think?
Nice.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I'd go game of the year like Sean over Teabag did, but I mean, every game he plays is game of the year until the next one he plays. So
Elba Protocol, game of the year.
Yeah. It's like But it's like playing a bad PS2 game visually, but the story's so fucked up. Like, it's great. And I mean, if you like Resident Evil type controls, like RE5, like that's kind of how this game controls. There's like three different enemy types, and but the story is so off the wall. Kind of like a mix of like Silent Hill and like Twin Peaks. It's crazy.
I think the best thing they did with that game was release it at a budget price.
Yeah, $20. Like, you can't really beat
it's only
it.
$20 new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you could find it.
Yeah. If you.
Yeah, I hear it is pretty hard to find. Amazon. Sean, I think Sean, he just has vaulted like 50,000 of them, just like back by area.
He's probably why on Amazon you can only buy two at a, like you can only buy two copies now. Like,
he has like cases of Demon's Soul and that game just lying around. Just. His bed is made out of them, and what I sleeps on them every night.
He's single-handedly like keeping Atlas and Ignition Entertainment alive.
You have to see sequels for both the games. He's like, I will buy whatever you need.
Yeah, that game doesn't have any right being as good as it is, but it's fun. Like,
I hear that. Yeah, it kind of makes fun of itself, or like it's just like the humor's like so like out there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't know it's so bad.
Yeah. That's awesome. I can't wait to try it out.
So, Jeff, what have you been playing, watching?
I've been dedicated lately, like the last week, to Darksiders, a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2, which I don't really like. I'm in the same boat as Fozzie, where I thought I'd be catching up on stuff, but I just like picked up cheap shit on eBay.
Yeah.
I have a boy in his blob here for the Wii, which is pretty cool. I have fuck else, Godfather 2, which I haven't touched.
That's an open world type game, right?
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna have the time to play it. I mean, there's so many games coming around the corner now. I'll be lucky to get through Darksiders.
What do you think of Darksiders? I think I played through it like a month ago, I want to say, and I liked it, but I don't think I like it as much as you do.
Did you like play through the whole thing?
Yeah, oh yeah, I beat it.
You'll be surprised what I think of it. I mean, I could go out and say it like right at the top here. That's my pick for game of the year right now.
Really?
My favorite game that I've played this year. I wouldn't say it's the best game. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a sucker for Zelda.
It. You know, it did have those great Zelda qualities in like a mature fashion, which was really refreshing. But I didn't like any of the boss battles. They just, all of them turned me off. They don't felt cheap. And they all made me feel less powerful. Like, you know how God of War has this, like, sense where you're this little dude doing, like, amazing things? It always felt like I was doing, like, pinpricks to the enemy, and eventually they fell over.
Yeah, but that's kind of like Zelda. You gotta figure out, you know, what's the one area of weakness or whatever. And the sad thing is, for almost every boss, I've had to look up on Game FAQs how to attack them. Like, I haven't been able
really?
To.
Really?
Yeah. I figure out the whole temple on my own, and I get to the boss. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I have no patience. I just look up right away.
I give up.
It's always something lame, too. Like, you run away the whole battle and throw, like, this boomerang at the enemy that comes back, and it does, like, this little tiny amount of damage and comes back, and you throw it again and just keep running away the entire battle long. There's one battle like that. You do that for 45 minutes. It just... I think at that point, it just turned any good opinion, or maybe not good opinion, but great opinion I could have had at Darksiders was lost for me, and that was the first major boss battle.
Well, here's the thing. I knew I wouldn't like the combat that much, because I'm not like a God of War fan, and the combat feels like that, so I, from the start, like started on easy. So it does feel a lot more like Zelda, and it doesn't really bother me that much. Well, I'm a puss.
Yeah. I still really want to try it out, though, because... I heard about it a lot, and I actually went to rent it, but they didn't have it when I tried to rent it, and I kind of just forgot about it. So I'm hoping that maybe, like, in a few months or something, I can just buy it for cheap, or hopefully
I'll just... You should be able to pick that up for cheap right now, because it's...
You think?
I've seen it. Oh, yeah. No, it's price has gone way down.
Yeah, if I get it for, like, what'd you say?
Yeah, for $20, but that was because GameStop had like a sale for like 3 weeks.
Oh shit! I'm about to say, if I could get it for like $30, though, like I'd be probably down with that. So I don't know. We'll see though. I still have so many other games to like think about right now. That's like the last thing on my list. So
other than that, I've been like I've been working through Sons of Anarchy. Finally gave that a chance, and nice. It's awesome. It's fucking amazing. But yeah, that's about it.
Cool. What's up with you, Tony?
Oh, well,
Tony.
The last week has been Madden. Pretty much the solely and nothing but Madden.
Has it been maddening?
It's been maddening in the best possible way.
Excellent.
So do you like the changes they made, or did they make changes?
There were a few changes. I guess the biggest one is the game flow and the game plan. So you can set up like the game like play calling AI to call certain plays in certain situations with a certain frequency. So you don't spend time actually calling the plays yourself during the game. It'll call the plays for you.
Okay.
And that's pretty cool. I mean, I play 8-minute quarters, and the games went from taking me like an hour and 15 minutes or so to taking me around a half hour. So it makes the games go so much faster. And I think that might cause me to play a lot more of it this year than I played in previous years.
How different is that from just asking Madden? Because that's all I ever did when I played Madden.
See, but the thing about asking Madden is that it will go with the default like AI play selection, whereas in this one you can modify that to call plays that suit your play style more. Like, I tend to like out routes or option routes or whatever to be called more often, and you can have that actually happen, which is pretty cool. I mean, the Ask Madden thing sometimes gives you really weird play calls and situations, so...
Yeah, usually I'd have to be like, no, that's a really dumb call.
Right, and then you have to audible, and this will, it'll give you the play call, and then it'll give you like four audibles that go along with that play call from the same formation. So even if you don't like the play that you can get a play that looks exactly the same, that does what you want it to do. So that's pretty cool.
You know what I did see on the iPad, which was pretty sweet, is that you can do, you can change up the route running. So you just hit a receiver, and then you just use your hand to make like a hook route or a fade or something like that. I thought that was pretty neat. But to be honest, though, I was thinking about getting this, but I actually changed my mind because I feel that it's just, it's too much like last year's, dude. These Maddens, like, Madden NCAA, I have a strict rule where usually I'll buy it 1 year, then I'll buy it the next one, like, and then I just switch off. So Madden 10 was last year, and we'll have to wait till next year, buddy.
You know what it is with Madden? They focus their changes in certain areas every year. So last year they really focused on changing the game modes. So like they made a lot of changes to franchise and that kind of thing. And this year they focused more on the field stuff. So things like, they totally revamped the blocking. They obviously added the game flow. They made some other changes, but it mostly focused on the on-field game stuff. So they made it a more interesting play experience as opposed to changing like the game modes themselves.
I suppose.
Have you played any of it online, Tony, or are you just playing AI right now?
You know what? My plan was to play some online this past weekend, but I got flooded out of my gaming area, so now my Xbox 360 isn't hooked up to the internet, so...
Instead of Noah's Ark, it was Napo's Ark.
That's right. Oh, man.
I'm just wondering, so that's one of my big drawbacks from playing like football, like the NCAA or Madden, is when you take it online, the game just becomes so unrealistic. Like, people running the same, they find like a play that is,
yes, and that's the most
stoppable.
Annoying thing. Yeah,
and it's like I'm trying to like play real football, one, because I can't run that play, I don't know how.
Right.
And like two, it's like I don't want to screw around. I actually want to play a real football game, and so the score ends up being like 72-0, like, because I can't get shit going offensively, and they're like running the same route over and over again that just can't be stopped. So
yeah, the hard thing is if you're not super familiar with your own like defensive playbook, you're gonna get screwed, because I mean, for any play that they could call, there's a play in your playbook that can counter that, and there are also some like route adjustments you can make. But if you don't know exactly what those are, you're fucked. I mean, there's nothing you can really do about it. So, I mean, unless you want to get really into Madden and put hours and hours and hours into it, I mean, it's not something online, probably isn't something you'd want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it for you, Tony? Just Madden?
I've also been playing, I went back to Civilization Revolutions.
Okay.
which is pretty cool. Came out about 2 years ago, and I played a lot of it when it first hit, but I started to get back into it because I was achievement whoring a little bit. So
you would.
Yeah, yeah. but that's pretty cool. I mean,
easy
I love civilization. There's an achievement. You get an achievement for winning with each civilization, and there are a bunch in the game. I think there's like 20 or something, and each one you win with is 15 points. And it, I mean,
you are such an achievement whore. It's not even funny, dude.
No. You've got Chris on this podcast, okay?
I just play a lot of games.
You've got more than twice as many achievement points as me.
Pushing 70 right now, but I don't.
No, that is effing ridiculous. Do you just finish everything that you start out, or what?
No? I mean, I've only out of all the games I've played, I have like 7 complete games, and 5 of them are arcade titles.
Yeah.
Like I just play a lot of different games, which adds up to a lot of points.
No shit. You got the system down on key. Me on the other hand, I'm stuck at like 26. So well.
I loved it. A few months ago, Fozzy called me out. He's like, I'm going to pass Napo. And he just gets farther and farther behind.
Hey, I don't play stupid games that I don't want to play. That's the
me
thing.
Neither.
I play the game. Whatever. I hate y'all. I'll beat you one day. I'm just going to get Hannah Montana and Terminator Salvation. And
I did play Terminator Salvation.
Yeah. Oh.
That's not a good game.
I recommended it to Dove, and he took it as liberty of actually beating it, and I was like, Dove, you bastard, I know you didn't like that game.
No, it's terrible. I put like those games on my Gamefly queue, like games that just look so bad or reviewed awfully that that I probably would never pay to actually play, but since I'm already paying my monthly subscription to Gamefly, add them on there, and they randomly select games off my queue anyway, so
that's true.
It's like, I think they this past week they sent me Marvel Alliance Ultimate Alliance 2, which was like 17th on my list. So glad I got that.
What? I think with Gamefly you're better off having less games in your list. Like I have a bunch in there too, and I always end up with, like, some random, like, 23rd game in my list or 18th.
So it doesn't even go by, like, priority? I'd be pissed.
Oh, it does, but if you really want a game, so do other people. So you never seem to be the one who gets it.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because I had Darksiders at the top of my list since January, and I got it maybe in June. And it took a while for it to show up. But in the meantime, I was getting, like, 26th, 23rd, like, just random stuff from the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, like, Terminator Salvation.
Hey, man, I'll pop this in. Oh, there's 1,000 points. Sweet.
You know what? Not to sidetrack this too much, but that's been happening to me on Netflix.
Oh, really?
And
really?
I switched back to non-Blu-ray. Like, I canceled my Blu-ray shit, and all of a sudden, everything's available.
Wow.
So, fuck Blu-ray.
That's because I have them at my house. I have to get back to sending my Netflix stuff back.
Noob.
Just lazy, that's what it really comes down to.
So, Chris, what have you been playing?
I finished up StarCraft 2.
You beat it?
Yeah, that was really good.
Nice.
It's hard. I had to actually drop down from normal to casual, so I was just getting my ass kicked. But it's good. The story's great. Like Blizzard really knows how to put a story in a game, and they display it so cinematically. I really don't want to wait 18 months, 2 years, or however long it's going to take before the expansions come out, because I want to see what happens. It ends on a huge cliffhanger. Yeah, like.
Well,
and it's not just a cliffhanger, it's like, okay, where the hell do they go with this now? Because some stuff from the previous game, actually everything from the previous game gets resolved, so it's like, okay, now what? What are we going to do now? So StarCraft 2 was all the Terran campaign.
Yeah.
And the next one's all going to be the Zerg, and it's like, there's so many questions with the ending.
Really?
What goes on with the Zerg now?
Oh, man, yeah, Zerg is going to be awesome. I can already tell it's getting, like, that game is fantastic, dude. I'm glad I really picked it up.
Yeah,
I'm really glad I picked it up.
What do you think of the RPG, like, interactions on the ship? Like, where you talk
about... Oh, the upgrades and everything? Oh, yeah, the interaction. I love it, dude. It's fun. I love talking to, you know, the big guy in the suit. What's his name? Tyree?
Tychus.
Tychus, yeah, something like that. And, I mean, it's cool. Just, like, you know, I really enjoy the Western RPGs. So even if they had, like, a dialogue tree, I think that would make even better. But to be honest, anything that just expands the story that much more and gives it more in-depth, like, look at it, I'm all for it, you know, so.
Yeah, they really love the stories that they put in to their games. Multiplayer, on the other hand, I'm not so sure how I'm going to like that.
No.
I'm not a big fan of getting my ass kicked, so.
Well, I figure you should at least do the challenges. Like, I'm going to probably do that before I even go and try it out. I'm scared.
I'm gonna do the challenges and then
I don't like losing.
Hop into. I heard that the way the multiplayer is structured though, it should work out that you're winning like one out of every two games. So
I hear, yeah, I hear that like the rankings are a lot better this time around. So
if
you don't
get
stuck, yeah.
If it works like that, I might actually get into it, but we'll see. And then the other game I've been playing is Shadow of the Colossus, which I finished today.
Wow, you finished already?
Yeah, it took me about 12 hours.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
That's an interesting game.
Yeah, right.
I mean, a lot of people claim it's like one of the best games ever made. I'm not sure that I'm on board with that. It's very artistic, but yeah, I'm kind of like torn on whether I really like loved it or not. The story only really kicks in over the last, like, you know, last quarter of the game.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, and it's like you're kind of like left with you should maybe be emotionally attached to this main character, and I just never really
caught on with him. Yeah.
It's like I don't have anything. There's no reason for me to be attached to him, and then when all the shit happens at the end, it's like, okay, that's nice.
That's all right.
Like I heard people like saying like they cried when they like. Like I'm not gonna cry over a video game anyway, but like
I'm a man. I'm 40. I don't cry.
Alright, I'm not 40 yet.
No, that's in reference to a college football thing. Don't worry about it. You
go. Like, I'm old. That old.
Nah, I would say that old.
Guys, but not by that
you
much.
You're getting up there.
But yeah, that's about it for me. Those two games. Then I just played a little bit of Civ 4. I don't know if I'm going to like that or not. It's really in-depth.
Yeah. Get Revolution.
Revolution is probably better. The fun. Depth in Civ is not... I mean, it's really overwhelming to somebody who's never played a Civ game. Like, I've played every Civ since the first one, and it just each game has built on another level of complexity.
Really?
So it gets harder and harder to understand over time. I think Civ Forever was great because it took everything back to a simpler level.
Yeah, Civ 4 just kind of throws you out there. I'm like,
Civ
I don't
4
know what I'm
simpler.
Doing. Like, I'm like, I'm just hitting like, yeah, I'll do what you recommend. That's cool.
And if you play on the lowest difficulty setting, it'll like give you recommendations and you'll win. But then if you turn the difficulty up, you'll realize that the recommendations don't really help you at all.
No.
And you find yourself completely unable to do anything and losing, like, terribly every time.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not expanding enough. Like, I have, like, this, like, I have, like, a small little cluster, and it's like, okay, maybe I don't know. I don't have any warriors, really. Like.
Oh, God, yeah, dude. You have to expand. If not, then everyone else will just take that. Like, Civ 4 is my first Civ game, too, and it's fucking hard, dude. I'm telling you, go with Revolution, because it's a lot more fun, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, so I was kind of like, I mean, I bought Civ 4 for $10 off Steam. They had some sort of sale.
Right. Yeah. Did you get all the expansion?
Oh, yeah, it came with Colonization, Warlords, something else. Like, it was like $10 for everything combined. It was insane. Like, that's a huge package.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. I kind of like a little more structure in the games I play, and that this just kind of throws you in. It's like, okay, well, get to it. Start your civilization. I don't know what I'm
doing. But you've got Leonard Nimoy to help guide you through.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad Spock's there, but I'm not exactly
that's Captain Nimoy?
Kirk, so.
Oh, snap. Awesome.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. And when I saw the Expendables on Friday, that was fun. Especially if you're a fan of like the old Stallone and Schwarzenegger type action films from the 80s. It's a fun time.
So Arnold just has like a cameo, right? Like he's just barely in there.
He's only in it for like 2 minutes. Him and Bruce Willis. That scene you see in the trailer with the three of them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
There's actually some really good dialogue in that scene that's not in the trailer. It's really only them for about 2 minutes. And Schwarzenegger doesn't even play like his character's not even like a vital role. He's just like another mercenary type leader.
Nice.
And Willis plays like this CIA guy who's hiring a mercenary group. And basically Stallone's the one that wins the bid, so... But yes, Jason Statham's really good in it. He's actually Stallone is definitely the lead in the film, but it's almost like he's handing off like that, like you're now the big macho, you know, hero dude, like to Statham, because Statham really plays like his second throughout the whole film.
And oh, true.
It's probably Jet Li's best movie in a long time.
Really?
He's really funny in it. So him and his broken English and. Lots of shit blows up.
Nice.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you want out of a movie like that, though. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Second segment here. We're going to go over, you know, kind of some of our favorite stuff from the year so far. I think we all kind of came up with a list of our five favorite games from the year, right?
Yes. Yes, we will.
I got all definitely. Sorts of shit.
You got a bunch of shit.
Yeah, he's
good work there, Jeffrey.
I got games and movies, too.
Yeah, I got some movies, too. So.
Double Rooney, okay.
So let's go around and, I guess we'll start off with some games, and then me and Jeff will talk some shit on movies with you guys chiming in.
We'll chime in every now and then.
Yeah. I know you've seen a couple films. I was not sure if you ever get out, Tony, to the movies.
So. No. The baby keeps me at home. So.
Little baby!
I hope to one day be able to leave the house again. But
it happens.
No, that won't happen.
It gets better, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
That thing is going to be a baby forever.
No, you don't want that. Jesus. in about 3 years, you'll be good. And then they can, like, shit, pee themselves, and you can almost be like, go to the refrigerator and just get yourself a drink.
Go get a beer
while you're at it.
Grab a beer out of there.
That's right.
So, let's start with some games. Go,
beer, baby.
Let's go with our number fives. Tony, what do you got?
Well, I think if I got to go with my number five, it's got to be God of War 3. Yeah, I think the sad thing about this game is that it came out and then people are like, oh, it's great, and then no one talks about it anymore. It's not as replayable as the other games on my list. Like, there's not as much there. Once you play through it once, there's not a whole lot of reason to go back. But I think it did some really great things. Like, it was an amazingly beautiful game.
It did look great.
Oh, it looked great. And then some of the boss battles were just, they did things that I don't think have ever been done in any game. Like, the battle against Kronos was just absolutely incredible. Like, the fact that he was so massive and some of the things that happened during that battle because of the size and the scale were just off the wall. So I think I got to go with God of War 3 for my number five.
Cool. Foz, what do you got?
I have Bad Company 2 for my fifth. The story was really enjoyable. I thought I enjoyed it as much as I did the Modern Warfare 2 from the previous year. And I feel that the multiplayer, I don't know if it's as fun as Modern Warfare 2, but it's still very much up there. I think the team is definitely more team-oriented, where you can depend on your other teammates to get you like through the game. So I think that it definitely had its strong points in that too, but I really, really enjoyed the single player for it, so I'm looking forward to the third one. Definitely.
Man, I just can't get down with that series. I don't know why. Like,
I never played the first one.
I like the first one. But
I love the destructible. Yeah, I love the destructible environment. So I think that's really what sold me. Like, I hate games where no matter how many rockets you put into a building, it won't blow up or anything. This game, it's like, I'll put freaking 10 rockets into that building, I guarantee it's going to blow up. So that's the cool thing about it, is the destructible environment's like so much better. There's nothing like trying to hide behind a wall. You hear a tank creeping up next to you. Next thing you know, you see like red all around you, and there's a freaking massive ass hole, and you're just running for dear life. It's fun, dude. I'm telling you, it's a blast.
See, that threw me off. The first time I played the multiplayer, I went to a house, and I was going to like look out the window and shoot people. And there was no window. I'm like, oh,
I know.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. It's like you really have to plan like where you're going to be sitting, because know that thing will probably be destroyed by the time you're done with it. So it's fun.
I think that game is best played with people you know, though, in a squad.
It's
hard to just jump in and play by yourself.
You got to be able to talk with your teammates and let them know what's going on and who's doing what. It makes it so much easier and so much more fun.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I agree.
So Jeff, what do you got?
Let's see, number five, Split Second. Just a fun racing game. I don't know, I love it. I thought it was fucking awesome. It's really more of a rental because it seems like you could beat it in a couple days, and
yeah,
I doubt that. I doubt the online's very fun, but just as like a single player racer, it's very fun. I mean, I'm sure Need for Speed will kick its ass later this year, but I don't know, I enjoyed it. It was fun arcade racing. I like blowing shit up.
Yeah, that was probably the most fun I had with it was like changing the environment and like doing the what were they called? It was like the detonated crap across the board.
Right.
Route changers, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was kind of like Burnout, but in reverse, what a lot of people were saying about it.
I mean, mm-hmm. The first time I saw the plane landing on the runway and I almost crashed into it, I was like, that is the cool. I mean, that is really one of the coolest things I've ever seen in the game.
It looks like they're. I mean, you finished the game, right? Did you get through it?
No. Okay. I got through like half of it.
It's like, okay. At the very end, there's. They kind of like add a story to it. It's set up for a sequel, and it's batshit insane. But,
I didn't even realize there's characters in the game. I had no idea.
It's like you're kind of the character. You're kind of playing in this like reality TV show where.
I like that too. I like that it was like a reality TV show or whatever. But yeah, I didn't notice the story.
I wish. Did you play a lot of the multiplayer, Jeff? Or
not at all. I imagined it wouldn't be that fun. I don't know.
It's they only have three modes. It's like elimination, which is the where it drops off each racer as
like the last person.
Yeah, it's like a time thing. So like you have like 30 seconds, and then it drops off like the last person. It actually your car just explodes. So like I envision like you kind of racing along, and if you're the last person, like the bomb in your car just goes off. the other two it's like a regular race, and then there was the one where you pass the trucks. So there wasn't a whole lot there multiplayer wise, which kind of killed. Like if the multiplayer was a little bit better, I think I'd still be playing it. But
yeah,
I had a lot of fun with it too. So.
Cool.
Glad you liked it. My number five is I know I said it. I didn't think it was game of the year like Sean did, but a Deadly Premonition. It's up there. It's so batshit insane. the main character, Agent York, he's probably one of the best realized characters I've ever seen in a game. He's a lot of character development to him. The story is like straight out of like Twin Peaks and Silent Hill. And while I didn't particularly enjoy a lot of the controls, like it was in fun in spite of it. And, I really, really liked it a lot. Like, and for the fact that like, it kind of looks like a PlayStation 2, like early PlayStation 2 game. Like the trees were just awful. They looked like triangles. Like the leaves were just like, the branches and leaves were just like big polygonal like triangles. It was like, this looks like Ghost Recon back in like 2000. And it was like, you know what? I don't care, because like the story is so frigging crazy that
almost like probably gives the game its flavor though. You know, like
yeah,
almost like if they did that intentionally, that would be awesome. You know?
Yeah, it's like the batshit design choices like actually add to it. <It's> like, But yeah, that's my number five. Tony, what you got for your number four?
Oh.
Number four, I got to go with Super Mario Galaxy 2. I never actually
Son
made
of
it through
a
the
fish.
Through the never first mind. Game, but the second one, for whatever reason, pulled me in. And I really liked, I mean, the level design was awesome. Some of the new things, I loved Yoshi. Bringing back Yoshi was key for me. But I played it a lot, really loved the game. I apparently beat it in record time, according to Chris, so... It was a lot
game
of fun.
Is hard, dude. I don't know what
you beat it in freakishly quick time. It's scary.
It took me over 15 hours to beat it. I beat it in 6 hours. Like what?
I honestly made it through most of the levels on the first try. Of course, I only did what I did 71.
You're an ass. there's some levels I hated so much in that game.
Dude, everyone.
A couple of them that were really hard. Like, there was one level where you're like a bowling ball and you have to knock down a certain number of pins. That level took me a couple tries.
Oh, to get that star?
Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
Everyone bitched about the Spring Mario level, and that's one of the few levels I beat on the first try. I don't know how I did,
oh,
but
the
I did.
Spring Mario level, holy shit. I was going with the alleyway, and I remember I could not get past those things. Oh, the day I did, it was glorious.
There's one level where you have to hop on like enemies to get like a certain number of points.
Oh, I hate that shit.
I beat it
on the first try, and my friend
was like,
I've done this 27 times, Tony. How do I do it? What do I do?
Dude, I still have no idea. What are you talking about, man? I cannot do that one for the life of me.
There's several like that, and I never beat one of them.
Yes, always those random stars that get me.
Yeah, there's one of them that I didn't beat. There's one where you're the fucking Rock Mario, and you have to run over a certain number of crabs. In 60 seconds, you have to run over all the crabs. And I could never
beat that one.
I never
yes.
beat that one.
Nice.
I could not do it.
I hated any of the ones where you had to fly.
With the bird?
Yeah. I wanted to throw the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck.
Bring back the penguin, please. I like that guy.
Alright, Faz, what do you got? Number four.
For my number four, I got NCAA. It was actually tough to pick this one. I was almost going to put FIFA 10 there because I love both those games so much, but I figure only one sports title should be included in my top five. Everyone that knows me knows that I'm a huge NCAA fan. It's definitely my favorite sport out of any sport out there by far. I think that this one has been really great. I really enjoy the Dynasty. The Dynasty has almost done like a whole overhaul, which is fantastic. I've always enjoyed recruiting, people and just getting them on the phone and like trying to like talk them into going to my university and everything. And that's a lot of fun. And this is the best I've seen. It's the most detailed and most in depth. It might be a little too much for people just starting out, but I think that it's fantastic. I like that they got a lot of the certain things that, you know how Miami, you're a Miami fan, you'll know that they have the fog smoke come yep. out, you know, before they go on the field. And they have that. And like for Notre Dame, they tap the fight like a champion today. So, I mean, they have all those like little things that makes college football that much more awesome. They have those little things for specific teams. So I thought that was pretty neat. But all in all, it's a great game and a great package. And the only thing that I didn't like was Tim Tebow on the cover. And I don't worry, I burnt that to the ground. So
I remember seeing the Twitter picture of you doing
yes.
that.
Yeah, literally it is burnt. I have no cover for this thing. And that I almost burnt the disc, but I figured I might need that. So I'm going to hold on to that.
You like papered over the disc. You're like, shit, it doesn't matter if it's blank. Yeah, but I guess you have to have – you can't cover it up, right? Because you got no cover on the game, so you won't know what game it is.
Yeah, that's true.
The one that's charred.
A little testy. That's really – that would be my top four right there, or my number four.
Can you still make the stadium shake in those games?
Yeah. You can make them shake, and the play is shaken too, like if you're trying to look at the play. So little things like that just makes it that much better. So,
hasn't the last few NCAAs had the play shaken, though?
They actually took it out for like 09 or 10, like one of those two, which was kind of stupid. They took out the shaking, but they put it back in for this one. I think all in all, it's great. Like the graphics look fantastic, so you should pick it up if you're a football fan, for sure.
I think the play shaking thing only matters if you only just started playing the game. Like if you actually know what the play is, like you've run it, like you know, 30
yeah,
times, it doesn't matter anymore.
Still, it does kind of fuck you up because it, like, what happens is the receiver's buttons don't come up too, so you kind of have to guess like which one's B, which one's X, which one's A. Like it doesn't show on there if the stadium factors in them enough, they'll just come up as question marks. So unless you're doing a running play, you're kind of like, oh shit, I forgot. Like sometimes you'll just brain fart for a second. So if you're careful, it's not a problem, but you have to make sure you look at your play multiple times. But yeah, that's my game right there.
So what do you got, Jeff?
What the fuck? Mass Effect 2.
Number four.
Oh my god.
Mass Effect
2
is down to number four.
That's my number four, so we'll just get this out of the way here.
You're both dead to me.
It's a great game. Honestly, like if I'm being honest, it's like the best game of the year that I've played. Like
your logic makes no sense then.
from a technical
standpoint. It's the best
standpoint.
Game I've ever played, but it's a number four.
But like, you know, I liked it. I thought that they like really tightened up the gameplay and beefed it up at the same time, and the writing was good in it. I don't usually care for stories in games, but this is one where I actually started paying attention. There were a few moments, like near the end, you have to make a choice. I don't want to go into it too much, but you have to make a choice whether to believe this guy or not. And I think I defied him or something. What the fuck is his name?
Martin Sheen's dude, the elusive man.
The elusive man, I defied him. Like, it was like, I actually had to sit there and think about it, like, you know, like, whose side is he on and shit? Like, I was taking it all seriously. It's a fucking game, but I was like, it's a good game.
Yeah, the story is pretty top-notch, man. Even the first one's just as good, too.
I thought it was better than the first.
No, I agree. I think the gameplay definitely helped it out. But story-wise, I think that both of them were really up there. But, yeah, I think that overall they really tweaked it, so it was one of the greatest games I've played this year.
Yeah, it's like 30 hours of like continuously good story though. Like, whereas like I thought Mass Effect 1, like they're like not that it ever kind of broke away, but maybe some of the gameplay was just like took me out of it a little bit. I enjoyed.
There was a lot of fill in that first game.
Yeah, that is true. This one they did it really good though, because you had to recruit each guy, and each guy had a story with them. So it really like knew how to suck you in. I mean, this game was just fantastic.
Really, the one bad thing I could say about Mass Effect 2, though, is, like, the exploring other planets part of it is just you looking at a map and, like, hitting a button and you, like, mine some shit. Like, I didn't use it at all, but I thought it was just dumb, like...
Yeah, the resource mining was really... I don't know why they added that. That didn't really make any sense. But I'm assuming in Mass Effect 3 we will not see that again.
Probably not.
No, that was probably a... one of the biggest complaints about that game, like that. I didn't enjoy going down to the planets in Mass Effect 1, only because the little tank thing
the
you control.
Mako.
It was terrible. It would not go where I wanted it to, and it's kind of why I don't like driving. And like, it was kind of like the same controls from like Halo, where you're using the two sticks to drive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and, but it was all jacked up, like it didn't work right.
Yeah. And it's like, and I was like, oh, they took that out, great. And then you just get like a globe. It's like, here, bring this cursor over it. This is fun.
Like, that's one thing they could address with the third one, is just making random shit to do more fun, I guess. But
yeah.
to be honest though, I kind of did like that. It's just that it got annoying after a while. Like, the first 10 minutes or so of me playing it, I was like, this is pretty cool. I can go, like, treasure hunting almost. But after a while, it just became really annoying, and then you had to realize, oh my god, I have to play this for 4 hours to get the latest upgrade. Fuck that. So yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was still pretty decent, though.
From a technical standpoint, it was a huge improvement over the first one.
Yeah.
It looked a lot better, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just... And it didn't chug either. Like that first game chugged along, like on the Xbox even. Mm-hmm. It was really spotty with its frame rate. This one, everything was smooth, and just really like looking forward to the third one. But so it's my number four. And evidently Jeff's as well. So Tony, what do you got as your number three?
I gotta go with Battlefield Bad Company 2. I think of all the games I played this year, that's the one I put the most hours into. I know I haven't touched Modern Warfare 2 since it came out. I wanted to make sure I made it all the way. There's an achievement for making it, I think, level 22. So I wanted to make sure I made it that far. And it took me, 37 hours or something. So,
need that 50 gamer score, please.
I must have it. But, yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a little, but I really enjoyed the game. The destructible terrain is great, but I think the things it does with, team-based multiplayer, really encourage, like, teamwork and team play. And I think that makes it a lot better than the lone wolf feeling you get in Modern Warfare. Like, it'll give you bonuses for doing things that aren't necessarily killing people, which is refreshing, I think.
Yeah, like you can spend your whole time just like going from flag to flag, depending upon which game mode you're on, like, and just grabbing flags. You don't have to kill anybody at all. You'll gain points that way, and depending upon if your teammate like assigned it to you, you get points for doing it because it's your squad, and you get points for.
Well, like being a medic is cool too. Like some people really enjoy that, and. I know Napo does. He loves reviving me every 2 seconds. So.
Yeah,
being
right
a medic
in the line of
killed
fire.
my kill to death ratio, because I was more focused on bringing people back to life than I was on actually killing the enemy. So I'd bring like 3 people back to life and then die without having killed anyone.
And all of them are dead too, because you were getting fired at the same time you were
reviving. Right. Like Foz would die in this really awkward position, and I'd bring him back to life, so he'd die again.
So, yeah,
I would hate when I was revived and I didn't want to be revived. Like, I was out of ammo or something. I was like, sweet, I'm going to revive, or I'm going to come back to life. Little does I know, someone's like, oh, I revived you, yay, except
it
would
have been nice if there was a way of just, like, forcing yourself to bleed out or die in such a way where you couldn't be revived. That would be a good feature for, like, the next Bad Company game.
Ooh, okay. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Alright, Mine is Galaxy 2, so it's kind of like me and Napo kind of flip-flop. Anyways, basically, my Galaxy 2, it's been a pretty good experience. I'm about 50 stars in. I haven't been it like the crazy almighty Napo over here. But I think that the coolest thing about it is how original each level feels. I never played the first one either. I've only played the second one. So it's kind of everything's new to me. The last Mario that I really got into was Mario 64. So, I mean, this alone just shows you that.
See,
it's been a while.
The reason I think Galaxy 2 didn't make my list is because I played Galaxy 1, and, like, it was just, it was a little better, but...
That's why I hear, it's a lot of the same, but I never played the first one. So.
I think the funny thing about the two Galaxy games is that for, like, a Nintendo Mario game, they didn't sell, like, if you look at the sales numbers compared to, like, New Super Mario Brothers, they didn't make that. Go to, like, the top and... New Super Mario Brothers is on there, but Galaxy 2, which came out more recently, is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just as good as the first one, but more frustrating. So, to me, I don't know. Doesn't make my list.
All right.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. So, but, you know, to each his own.
So what do you got? Go ahead, Jeff.
Just to finish up on Mario, like, it's kind of like playing Bioshock 2. It's like, I've played this before. But my number three is a game I absolutely fucking love and no one bought and no one played, and it's Toy Story 3.
Okay.
I played it at E3.
It's basically like Viva Pinata mixed with like Mario and like Grand Theft Auto kind of. It's fucking great, man. You're like I'm talking
I was
just
like
about the
Viva Pinata.
Huh?
Grand Theft Buzz.
Okay.
I was like Viva La Pinata.
Because, alright, what I'm talking about is the Toy Box mode, which is just a side mode in the game, but that's all I fucking played. Where you're like town building, you know? And it's just like, remember, I don't know if you played Viva Pinata, but like, say if you build a new house, they have like a construction guy come in, they like put up barriers around it, and they like work on it. And then like, you know, the house, like it opens up, and like, you know, confetti and shit. It's the same exact thing. They do the same thing in it. And I don't know, dude, like, just running around, playing around in your town, and building it up, and you could go explore. Every time you open up a new area, like in the town, like you'll open up a Haunted Mansion area, and then you have to go play through like a platforming level in the Haunted Mansion area. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, in the Haunted Mansion area, they play the fucking music from the Haunted Mansion in Disney World. I was just like, dude, this game was made for me, man. Like, I honestly think like more people should try it out. I don't know why everyone went and saw the movie, but you should definitely try out the game. It's really one of my favorites of the year. I gotta buy it. I haven't bought it yet, but I fucking love it.
I guess I'll be adding that to my my Gamefly queue. Give that a shot.
Definitely do, man. Even the main game itself is just like it's like a straightforward platformer. But like the first level alone, like it like parodies the train level in Uncharted. It is cool, man. Like, yeah. Really well done game.
That was pretty fun. I played at E3 for a little bit. It was interesting.
And you know what? It's actually selling well. Like, you know, any kids game or something like that sells really well. Like, like at my store, it's outselling God of War. We're still sitting on hundreds of copies of God of War, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those rare kid games that are selling well where I'm like, good, you know? Like, good that they're buying this for their kids.
I heard Pixar really got behind it, like, in the past, they haven't maybe gotten behind all the games for their movies, but this one, they actually had a reveal out at the Pixar Studios, and they really seem to be like behind it, so it's glad to hear that it came out good.
I'm telling you, Toy Box mode. Get it and play Toy Box mode. You will thank me.
All right, I will do that. My number three is a game that came out maybe not too long ago, a couple weeks ago maybe. It was the first, Summer of Arcade title, Limbo.
Oh, nice.
That game is excellent. Like, it's just one, the way it seamlessly puts everything together, like, one level, and I didn't care if there was no story really behind it. It was just, like, I didn't want to stop playing it. It was great puzzle platformer. Like, you die a ton, but When you finally figure out like how to move on in the game, it's like so rewarding.
I played a demo and I was actually very much into it. If I didn't get Castlevania, I definitely would have gone that. I still probably will, but I haven't gone to it.
I'm going to wait for sale, but yeah. Is it all one level, though?
It's broken up, and they're, like, once you beat it, there's, I think, 22 or 24 different chapters, but the way the game presents itself, it's all seamless. Like, there's no level breaks, there's nothing to tell you where you are in the game, except when you stop and, like, look at, like, the chapter selection. And, it's seamless. There's, like, no music in the game. It's, like, just ambient sounds, and it's, like, really moody. It's a creepy game. Like, you're kind of, you play as this little boy, and, like, when you die, it's fucking gory. Like, he'll just explode in a ball of blood.
Yeah, that's true.
It's great. I loved it. It's why it's my number three right now. But
nice.
Like, and at $15, like, I can't believe people are saying that, like, it's not worth $15. Like, I mean, there are games that I play, like Modern Warfare 2, like the single player in that's like 5-6 hours long. And that's a $60 game, and granted, there's multiplayer in it, but a lot of people just play for single player.
Yeah, that's true.
They have no problem dropping, like, $60 on a game. It, like, maybe take them, like, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours, or whatever. But $15 for a downloadable title that, like, does some really cool stuff with the genre, and they're, like, complaining about it, and I'm just perplexed by that.
I think that, to be honest, arcade games just get shafted in general. People just look at it like, man, I don't want to spend $1,200 on or points on this when I can get the newest map pack of Modern Warfare 2. Like, I swear, if they would package Limbo in, like, a game disc and everything and put it for $20, people would have bought that, like, off the racks, but...
Yeah, you know. It's so weird that, like, people will be like, oh, if I have to go buy it in a store, it's, like, worth so much more, but...
Yeah.
Like, we can give it to you instantly. Like, you don't have to even leave your couch. All you have to do is, like, I'm willing to give you $15 for this, and you get this awesome experience. Instead, it's like, oh, you know, I'd rather go and buy this game that, you know, is really generic and, all right, whatever.
I think a lot of that, too, comes down to, the younger demographics who don't have as much money to spend on games. Like, if you were to just be stuck buying one Xbox Live Arcade game,
right,
you wouldn't want it to be Limbo, because while that is a great experience, since it's only 3 hours long, I mean, what are you going to do, play Limbo over and over and over again? I mean, it's at that point it becomes a waste of money. But for people like you and me, something like that is a great investment, because, I mean, we have lots of games, we're going to spend lots of money on games anyway, and 1,200 points, I mean, it's worth it for us.
Yeah. I just don't, like, I definitely see what you're saying there, but I mean, how much, I have so many arcade games, and maybe that's where I'm coming from, is like, I have all these arcade games that I've spent $5, $10, $15 on that I don't play at all, and very few are on the quality of, like, what Limbo was, and it's just kind of depressing to see people, oh, I don't want to pay, I don't want to buy that, but they'll spend, you know, $10, $15 on Blacklight Tango Down, which won't have it's a multiplayer only shooter, and it won't have a community in like 2 months.
Right. Game of the year.
Yeah.
Game of the year. It probably already has no community.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll step on there and play Mag 2. Gamefly sent me that. I went on the other day. There's nothing. There's no one there.
No one's playing Mag?
No one's playing Mag.
Wow.
Like, that's, if you want to get on, like, the larger games of Mag, those are the only ones people are playing. And since so few people are playing, it takes forever to get on them.
And to even get onto those bigger maps, you have to level up your character. It's like, you're only able to do so much in Mag when you start out. So, like, you actually have to, like, play the lower ones. And if nobody's playing them, you won't be able to level up to go into the bigger ones. It's a shame, because that game isn't bad either, but...
It seemed like Battlefield to me. I actually liked it more than Battlefield, so...
If only other people did too.
Yeah. That released at a shitty time. Like,
It released it a terrible. Well, it was the same week as Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Which was a terrible, terrible choice, and it has no single player, and with no community to begin with, they're releasing the game into a vacuum and just hoping people buy it. And that's it. I just think it was a poor decision to release the game the way they did.
Should have been on Xbox. But
Hey, if it was on Xbox, there would be a community for it at least. Like,
there's so many games that should be on Xbox that is on PS3, which I'm pissed about. Any play, create, share game should be on Xbox, to be honest.
I know.
Think of like
I wouldn't need my PS3.
Yeah, right.
Except Microsoft doesn't want you to create or share, so.
Yeah, no, they just want money.
They just want you to play. Tony, what do you got next?
Number two's got to be Red Dead Redemption.
That's my number two as well.
All right, Fozzie, then you want to talk about it? Tell me why you love it.
Well, I really enjoyed. I think the single player was great. I like the whole cowboy genre. It's up there with the ninjas in my book, and the monkey butlers, of course. But we can talk about that later. But yeah, I mean, it's just I think that it's a great story. It's Rockstar, you know. They really don't make that many bad games at all. It's also the same premise that you would expect from a Rockstar game. You go, it's very mission based and everything, but I think that story was pretty top notch. Has everyone beaten it here?
Mine's still sealed.
Really? Still sealed.
Oh, that's right. I forgot, Chris. You were the anti Western, anti open world, anti. Mm-hmm. It was some other reason you didn't like it.
So I'm not a fan of Westerns. I'm not really a big fan of open world games, and I'm sure
there were a bunch of other games that came out that week too that you wanted more.
I think I got them all too.
Oh, May 18th. I still remember. There was like 10 billion games coming out, and like I had to make my choice of what I was going to get. It had to be Red Dead. But
yeah,
it was like there was like Galaxy 2, Alan Wake, Split Second, Prince of Persia. It was like a game explosion.
Yeah, I think I got the other three. I liked all three of them too. So
nice. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I love the multiplayer, just going around and with your horse or your donkey, depending on what level you are.
Shooting Fozzie's horse in the head.
Yeah, you're a bastard for that. And let's see what else. I thought that was a lot of fun, and just being able to go and do, like, the hangouts, and then also, like, shooting animals. But definitely some complaints is that there's no animals in multiplayer. It was so, like, anti-animal, and it's kind of borderline ridiculous for a game that should strive on you. Yeah, no, not at all. The animal life, if it was like plentiful in that game, it would have been so much more fun. But I remember I would go and this is back when we first started and like everyone was still playing it, and I was with like the Teabag Boys, and then we would go from one side of the map to the other just to look for animals, and we would literally see none. It did not make sense that for a game that should be so open to that suggestion to not have, like, next to nothing animals. I was very pissed.
Yeah, it makes sense from a technical standpoint, but not, I mean, having that as part of the multiplayer, like, having, like, challenges based on shooting animals, and the fact that they could only generate so many in that large world when you were playing the multiplayer just didn't make any sense. It was just a really bad decision.
But could they really, I mean, I don't know.
They could have said, like, yeah.
Could they not put animals in it? I mean, you know.
They couldn't put as many.
No, I don't see that being true, dude, because in single player there's so many animals.
There's a lot, right? But the single player isn't played on an online server. You don't have to worry about the other players. Like there's so much many less you have when you're playing just that.
Okay. Well, I barely got the last part of that, but yeah.
I think Rockstar silenced him there.
Yeah, but that's awesome.
Barely, Tony.
No, but I see what you're saying, dude. And I don't know. It's just go ahead.
Can I get my piece in about the game, which is you know, it's like GTA basically, and I thought it. I mean, I'm being honest, man. I thought it got boring near the end. I thought it kind of like petered out, but like. To me, what I always love about Rockstar games, and more so than ever here, is like the detail and the environment. Like they really immerse you in a world It's like the attention to detail that Disney puts into their shit. Like, just like the little fonts and everything and the way people talk. And I don't know. That's what I always love about their games.
See, I kind of like the way at the end the story kind of faded. I thought at that point they were trying to get you to believe that you were where Marston really wanted to be. Like, you were living the life that he was living.
But it's like 3 hours long, man. Like, the ending where you go back to... I don't want to say too much, but it, like, the game slows down, and it's kind of anticlimactic until like one point. But like, it's like 3 hours of boredom, like just to what, like evoke a mood. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was good storytelling, but I can see from a gameplay standpoint where you could find objection to that.
And their games are always like their missions. It's always like a long ass fucking drive to somewhere. Like, why does it always have to be that, man? Can't you just have some missions?
That
where,
is
like,
true. Yeah, nothing was ever next door. I always have to be like as far as you can go.
There were a few of them where you could skip the journey, but not enough.
Not enough. Definitely not enough.
Like, since all three of you played it, like, how do you compare it to GTA 4?
I think it's better.
Yeah, I gotta go with better. I mean, technically, it looks a lot better. And they fixed a lot of the control nuances. You don't have that stupid, what is it, the enemy health bar? Which doesn't make any sense when you're shooting somebody. Like, they don't have a health bar, I'm sorry. If I shoot you with a shotgun, you fall down dead. That's it. So the gunplay made a lot more sense. But I mean, it's really similar in a lot of respects.
I agree with Tony, man. They, like, the controls and the gunplay just felt better, so that made it a better game.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll go with agree, too. They pretty much nailed it. So.
So, that was a...
That was me and Fozzie.
Yes.
Yay!
So what do you got, Jeff?
I got another sandbox game. Just Cause 2. I liked it. I mean, I've always liked sandbox games. I think this is like, this game gave you the best tools that you could have in a sandbox. Like the combination of the hook shot and the parachute were, once you learn how to use them, you could really navigate the world in a fun way. I just wish the sandbox was a little more detailed, like Rockstar. I mean, like every town is the same. The map's fucking huge, first of all. And so like when you get down to like, little corners, like you get towns that are just repeated over and over, they look the same, and people that, you know, they're not populated well, but just as like just to fucking goof around in a sandbox, I think Just Cause 2 is the best. So
this gets me a lot with open world games. If the universe lacks like the detail, I really have a hard time getting into it in like a serious way, like Red Faction Guerrilla last year, or Saints Row, like those games. I mean, they had those big open worlds and there was a lot to do, but they lacked like the story element and they lacked like the level of like personality to the world. And I feel like I heard the same thing about Just Cause 2, and so I didn't pick it up because of that.
You should rent it at least. I mean, it's I love the shit out of it. So, I mean, the amount of like the whole game too was just like, it's very, doesn't take itself seriously. It's about like creating the biggest fucking explosion that you can. Just, like, running into a place. There's no cover system. You just run in, just shoot shit. Fucking, you know, you could be very creative with your kills. You could like hookshot a fucking Hummer onto the fucking highway and it'll flip the car on them.
Wait, what? What game is this? Is this Just Cause?
Just Cause 2, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You do really creative kills in it too, for fun. I mean, you don't get. I don't think you get anything more for it, but I mean, it's just fucking.
Yeah, I played the first one. It was pretty good.
I hated the first one.
Yeah.
I love this. That's what made me love it even more. Like, when I played the demo, I'm like, this is way fucking better than one, and I bought it. Like,
nice.
So, like, is there a purpose to what you're doing out there, or is it just, like, here's this world, go fuck around?
No, there's a story, but it's really bad and cheesy, and they know it, so, like, the story doesn't intrude much on it. Like, you know, you'll have a cutscene here and there. But you're taking over some corrupt government or something. I don't even know. You're fucking some bad guys up. It's like probably like the Expendables.
Cool.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
StarCraft 2. I know it's a relatively new. It's only been out about 3. It will be about 3 weeks now. This week, but I've been waiting for that game for 12 years. And I'm not a big strategy gamer, but I just love the story of the first one, and this one just picks it up. It makes it so much better. It actually made it more accessible for people who aren't good at strategy games. And while I haven't really gotten into the multiplayer yet, like, there's just so much to do in the single player. Like, it took me about 18 hours maybe to play through the single player, and there's like more missions actually that there's evidently a secret mission that I missed somewhere, and there's different choices that you can make within the game itself, that, like, you get these choices, like, hey, you side with this faction or this faction, and then depending upon which faction you side with, you gain bonuses later on, or characters will leave, and there's so much depth to it, and the story is just so damn good that it's just one of the best games I've played in a long time.
Nice.
Will it run on my computer? That's the question.
It won't run on mine, I know that.
StarCraft 1 run on my computer, how about that?
Yes. StarCraft 1 should easily run on your computer, and you can get it for
$10. Does your computer turn on?
Yeah, it's unless your computer is like 20 years old, it should run. StarCraft runs on just about everything at this point. Like, and Blizzard did such a great job over the past 12 years just keeping that game up to date. They were still releasing updates for it last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And a lot of that's because, you know, the multiplayer was so popular, so.
Mm-hmm.
But they stand behind their games, and they, I mean, they're still updating Diablo 2, so there's a lot to do. Yeah, so Jeff, you can definitely play StarCraft 1.
Well, if I ever get into PC gaming, that's where I'll start.
That's a good place to start. There and or TIE Fighter.
I play Sims. I don't know if that's real-time strategy. Probably not.
It's real-time something. I'm not sure what.
Real-time family, man.
You know what's sad, too, is I'm getting Sims 3 for Xbox when it comes out. That's, like, one of my most anticipated games.
Oh, no, I'm there with you, man. I really want it.
Hell yeah, we'll trade some furniture, motherfucker.
Yeah.
This is going to a strange place.
This podcast is taking a strange turn.
Jeff and Tony are trading furniture. Next, they'll be moving in together.
Right.
All right, Tony. Lay it on us. What's your number?
All right. You know what my number one is. It's Mass Effect 2. It's got to be.
That's mine too, sucker.
I feel like as far as sequels go, I have never quite encountered a sequel which tied in with the gameplay from the previous game as well as this one did. Like, there was something like over 1,000 tie-ins between the decisions you personally made in the first game and how that plot unraveled in the second game.
Getting excited.
And I think the way they did that has never, ever been attempted before. And I feel like the level that they reached with that is going to change the way that sequels are carried out from here on. I mean, we've mentioned a lot of other things about the game previously, but I think it's one of the best games technically this year. I think it's certainly the best RPG that's come out this year. So I got to go with Mass Effect 2 as my number one.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
I think, though, if you didn't play the first one, you don't know the story, you're just picking up the second one, I think you could come in like that, like fresh, and still kind of get an idea of what's going on.
So oh, yeah, definitely.
They did that well, too.
If you have the means to play Mass Effect 2, you should do it.
Yes.
Yeah,
you actually
yeah.
said it. Awesome. If you have the means.
Like, I mean, if you have an Xbox 360 or a PC that can run it, you should play Mass Effect 2. Like, sorry, PS3 people, you're probably never going to get it, but
it is so choice.
I love every once in a while
somebody
posts like a blog. Or there'll be an article like, when is it finally coming to PlayStation? It's never coming.
It's not.
Stop.
It's
just,
suck on that, Sony lovers.
It's like, and I mean, it's fair. There's plenty of like PS3 titles that Xbox 360 only owners would love to have.
Sorry, Uncharted is not coming to the Xbox.
Exactly. Like, Fozzie, what, do you have anything to say on Mass Effect? Or we pretty much covered
this nerd over here pretty much nailed it. I love Miranda. That's all.
Do you guys think it'll be Game of the Year, though?
I don't think so.
I would have a hard time. Sorry, you can go.
Go ahead.
I think it's going to be hard to have a game that... I mean, there probably will be some that have amazing gameplay, but to advance gaming as much as I think Mass Effect 2 did, I don't think there'll be another game that can match it in that department.
What about Donkey Kong Country Returns?
You need to calm yourself.
There's nothing in Donkey Kong.
I mean, to be honest, the only thing I think would be holding it back is that it was released so early in the year that maybe people might forget about it. I don't know. So far, everyone still talks about Mass Effect, so it's almost towards the end of the year. So I think that has a pretty good shot. And like Tony was saying, I've never seen a sequel that takes such minute. This one chick that I helped out in the first one that I don't even really even remember, but until she like mentioned it, she came up to me and she was like, "Yeah, because you saved my husband or saved some so and so, this happened to me." And it's weird. It's like, it's cool because it's so surreal that this little thing that you never suspect, like little minor thing, like came back and actually at least this one person said something. So that even right there got me excited to go and play the first one again and just like to change that around and see what would happen, you know? There's so many little things that the sequel does that it really makes you even appreciate the original more, which is really rare for games these days, I think.
All right, so maybe it will win. I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, what could beat it? You know, I'm like, I'm more excited for Halo, but like, there's no way. You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. Red Dead, StarCraft, like that.
There are some really good games out there. But I think most of the games coming out at the end of the year are more refinements of things that have been out previously. Like, there's nothing that's going to rock your world or give you something that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I hadn't already played 20 hours of Jetpacks and Reach, I think that would rock my world.
True.
I can't wait for that shit.
We would definitely be doing some game nights with that.
Definitely.
Hell yeah.
So, Jeff, what do you got?
I said it at the top, Darksiders. Just because, like I said, I'm a sucker for Zelda, and it's very well done Zelda. I mean, with some God of War-ish combat, which I don't know if it's as good as God of War, but I don't like that shit anyway. So I don't know. I'm almost done with it, and to me, it's just I'm a sucker for Zelda and just long single player adventures like that with big fucking rooms of puzzles in them.
All right, without spoiling the ending for you. Okay. It's set up for a sequel. Has there been any news on whether there is a sequel or will be a sequel or not? Like, did it sell well enough for that to happen? Because I would love a sequel.
It's selling pretty well, and Sean said that, yeah, it has been, like, announced as in development or some shit.
Yeah, I heard that the second one has been put into development.
Like, if you go on Game FAQs, there's a listing for it, so...
Ooh. And it's set up for co-op, too. Like, they definitely... Like, co-op seems like it could be possible in a sequel, and that would be incredible. Like, can you imagine,
really?
Like, co-op Zelda?
No. I mean, I guess. I mean, they had that one on GameCube that was kind of co-op-ish.
For what game?
Zelda, Four Swords Adventures or something.
They made one for DS and for the GameCube, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I played the one on GameCube by myself, and it was a great game. Like, mm-hmm. It's a fucking good Zelda. Cool. Different, huh? But... It's like broken down into levels, you know, but...
I did play a little bit of Darksiders. I do like God of War, though, and I think the combat just kind of got on my nerves, and I gave up on it maybe too early.
So I think that's what would turn people off, is that. Like, but for me, I don't give a shit about it, so...
So, yeah, maybe I'll give it another shot, go back to it, see if I can maybe get by. I only played about an hour of it, and I was like, I really don't like this combat, so... Maybe
it's slow for the first. I've read a lot of reviews where they said the game was slow for the first hour and then picked up. So I mean, you might just want to see if you can plow through that first section because it definitely does get a lot better.
Because, like, the first section is kind of like God of War, where you're just, like, fighting shit left and right. And then when you get into it, though, I don't know if you're into Zelda, Chris, but, like, if you like Zelda, you're going to like the game.
I may have did not play enough of it. Give it another shot.
Ooh.
All right. Well, we've already talked about my number one quite a bit already, but it's Mario Galaxy 2. It's, I thought it did, and I did play the first one. I thought it was... Well, Jeff found it more frustrating.
It is.
It's definitely far harder, and I think I like that about it, though. For the first one, like, I never felt like there was any sort of challenge to the levels, and that the only challenge was fighting the camera in that first game. And in this one, like, the camera seemed like it was placed just about perfectly, and the level design.
Yeah, I think there was maybe one level where the camera actually annoyed me.
Yeah, and it's like. I died a lot in the first one based on the camera, not based on, like, the fact that I wasn't doing it right. Is that the camera would just move, and all of a sudden my guy would be like, oh, fuck, there goes Mario.
See, I'm alone on that. I thought the camera was good in the first one, but I don't know. The consensus is against me on it.
It's, different strokes, different folks, I guess. Like, I really enjoy Galaxy 2, and I've been hard on Nintendo. Recently, but yeah, it was really good.
The only thing that annoys me about the game, the only thing, is having to point the stupid star thing at the screen the whole time.
Yes.
I could live without that. If they removed that, that would be amazing.
And you actually, like, need to be getting those star, like, the star bits the entire game, because you need to buy shit with it and unlock other areas with it, and so you actually do need that, which can be annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
Did you guys, like, life grind? Like, you would, you know, when you restart, you only get your 5 lives. Or sometimes, like, Peach will send you a letter and give you, like, another 5.
Yeah.
did you go around, like on the Mario Starship, you could, like, get other lives? Like,
oh, dear God, yes. I would get as many lives as I could.
Every time I started up, like, I had like 15 lives before I left the friggin' ship.
Oh my god.
I always went in with my 5 or 10 if I got the note from what's her name.
But, yeah, yeah, I always went with what I had.
I was always afraid that if, like, I actually died, that it would just be like, oh, fuck you. I know that's not what would happen, but.
I know what happens when you die. I know what happens when you die. I've done it before.
No.
Just give you the continue and restart.
Actually, they
do
that. Yeah, basically, no, you just restart that level, man. It's just, like, you know how sometimes there's checkpoints in a level?
Yeah.
If you've gone past that checkpoint, you lose all your lives, then you have to go all the way back, which actually is a bitch sometimes. Especially for that spring level, fuckers.
I hate that.
Twice I died when I got to an awesome checkpoint. I got so pissed.
If you can't figure out the timing on the spring, you are fucked.
What? Yeah. I know. It sucks. I can never get it right. I get really overamped, and I would overdo it. Like, you know how you have to just do your small spring till you get close to him, and then you press down to do that big spring.
Right.
I would just do this small spring way too much, and then when I knew that I was, like, effed over, I was like, no, I'm already in midair, I can't stop. And then if you got hit by one of those rolling balls, you just go into lava and you're dead. It's like, oh, there's one life gone. I was not happy with it.
The last thing I want to say on Mario Galaxy, though, is, like, it kind of, like, reignited my love of Mario games. Like, after I beat Galaxy 2, I went back and replayed through New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and then I started up Mario 64. It's just like,
they're such
good games.
Yeah, there has not been a bad, like, core Mario game. Not a one.
It's a me.
So, alright, well, that wraps up our game portion, but I know me and Jeff have some movies we could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I think Fozzie has some insight on some of this.
Tony, what are movies?
Yeah, have Fozzie tell his movie of the year. It's fucking excellent.
Go ahead,
what?
Fozzie.
I don't know. Don't put me on the spot right now. Let's go to break and then we'll come back.
You told me what it was.
What was my movie of the year?
Good Will Hunting from 1998.
Oh, fuck yeah. That is true, dude. Oh my god. Okay. I guess it's just because I've seen it before. Like, I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen the part like when they're in the bar scene, and I've seen them when like he's done like the calculations and everything, but I've never really seen it all conjured up and all, you know, in one complete story. So
hey, it's not your
fault. The wizard never brought him the whole movie before.
No. It was just little bits and pieces, and then it was on Netflix. I was like, man, I really should see this. And then like for the next 2 days, and yeah, like that, it's not your fault part, I've always wondered where that's come from, and I never knew it was from that damn movie, so. I thought it was, yeah.
It's not your fault.
Shit. How do you like them apples?
Yeah. It's not your fault.
Honestly, yeah, I didn't know there's so much stuff, like, on there that I can relate to now. But then, like, for the next 2 to 3 days, I went on a freaking Robin Williams, like, spree. I saw Dead Poets Society. I saw Mrs. Doubtfire. I just saw every like 90s Robin Williams film that he was in. I basically went to go research it.
Patch but Adams. Like,
yeah, what dreams may come.
Oh god, yeah, it was fun though. It was a great movie. It's really up there for me now. So
it's a little interesting tidbit about Good Will Hunting is it was the first date for me and my wife.
Really?
So, yeah, we went to see that. March 13th, 1998.
Wow.
So
I can't remember who I saw it with. I saw it in a theater, too.
Oh, some did you?
Chick, some chick from high school.
Jack Bat.
So, it's a Fozzy. Have you seen any movies maybe from this decade?
I like the older ones, but really, I saw quite a few. I've seen The A-Team, saw Inception, of course, fantastic. Let's see what you're writing here. Oh, okay. And I saw, what else did I see in the theater? I saw Toy Story 3. I've seen a few. Yeah, go ahead.
If you had to like choose one of those, like what would you say is your
Inception by far?
Yeah. Yeah, that's up there for me too. It's pretty much my favorite film of the year so far.
Yeah.
I know Jeff hasn't seen it yet, but so I'm actually kind of interested to hear what he has to say. His favorites.
About what?
I know you haven't seen Inception yet, so interested to see what your favorite film of the year is.
I really don't have many because I missed a lot of the ones in the theaters, but like, I'm sorry, best movie that came out in this year, I think, that I've seen is The Crazies, which was just really inventive, fun horror movie.
The remake of Romero's film from like 73 or so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's much better than Romero's version.
I turned off Romero's halfway through it. That's why I didn't do a review of it. I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, his was boring.
Seriously.
It's like, I don't know. I understand like the devotion to Romero, but I don't think the guy's a good filmmaker at all.
No, not really. I mean, Dawn of the Dead was good. Day of the Dead was great. I mean, but I don't know. There's something off with him. He's not good at, like, directing or writing, I don't think, really.
No.
He's so, like, ham-fisted with his messages, like, especially in the last couple, like, Diary of the Dead at the end when he just, like, says what the message of his movie is. I'm like, ah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Couldn't have figured that out. Like,
yeah, I was not a fan of Diary of the Dead, and then his latest, which was Survival of the Dead, was just a travesty.
Really?
Where does he come up with these titles?
I think he just used
he pays $100,000.
And then he like opens up a dictionary and like points his finger at a name.
It's like, yeah. Oh, Insalubrious of the Dead.
Exactly. That's
done.
Next one. Like Diet of the Dead will be his next one.
Nice.
Scorpion of the Dead. All right.
So yeah, I like the crazies too though, but Inception for me is my favorite so far. You should definitely get out and see that if you can. Nice. You too, Tony. You should. Should find a babysitter for the kid.
If I ever once, leave the house. the last movie I saw was Sherlock Holmes.
I hated that. And I hated it, but I was so dumb.
See, I kind of liked it.
It was Scooby-Doo. 2 hours long.
But, you gotta be into the whole, Sherlock Holmes thing. Like, I've seen all the, the old, British...
you would.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff. And the new one was just more of that. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that was... It made me, almost vomit a little bit.
I heard that movie was good. You didn't like it?
It was so corny, man. And, it really was, I don't want to ruin it for people, but it's like Scooby-Doo. I got a few more picks, though, I could throw out there.
Sure, go ahead.
The best movie I've seen this year, it didn't come out this year, but the best movie I've seen was Up in the Air. I really fucking love that movie. I saw that twice, too, and I liked it. Best thing I've seen all year is Breaking Bad, Season 3, TV show.
You would.
It's amazing. You're big into Breaking Bad at this point, huh?
Oh, hell yeah, man. It's just as intense as the Shield is. I don't know how far you are in the Shield, but it's often funnier than Shield. I don't know. It's a very good show.
That's one where guy he starts making drugs or something.
It's Bryan Cranston, the guy from Malcolm in the Middle, is he's a high school chemistry teacher who finds out he has lung cancer and he's gonna die. And, his family's already in debt to begin with, so he wants to leave them with something, So he starts cooking meth.
And, hey, why not?
It goes on from there, but from the start, the creators said he wants it to be like Scarface, or where this guy just reaches the top level. And so, you're in season 3 now, and he's just starting to make the bold moves. So it's a good show.
Seems insane.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I saw the first season. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's very good. But I mean, that's the best thing I've seen, period, all year, is Breaking Bad.
Cool. And I know you saw Toy Story 3, and you were not on the same boat as everybody else.
It was okay, but to me, I just saw the Toy Story movies recently, and they're just, to me, they're fun kids movies with jokes for adults. Not like what I think of Pixar, like Wall-E or Up. So I don't know. I mean, they're fun little adventure movies for kids.
Yeah, I still think Up is a better movie than Toy Story 3. But actually, I still think Toy Story 2 is a better movie than Toy Story 3. But
absolutely. And the 3D sucked. I hated it. I'm sorry.
Good thing I didn't see it in 3D.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything in 3D. My first 3D movie will be this coming Friday when I head out to see Piranha 3D.
Oh,
I want to see Jackass 3D, man.
Yeah, that could look pretty good.
I love those movies.
Yeah.
I've actually never sat through an entire Jackass film, so.
You just couldn't make it? You couldn't stomach it?
I don't know. It seemed like a really long episode.
Well, yeah.
And
they
was
do,
like,
they do more outrageous shit. Like, yeah. The dude shoves a car up his ass, man.
Damn it, that's great television.
There's that. I'll check that out. I'll put that on my Netflix queue. We can discuss shoving cars up each other's asses.
Oh, God.
And really quickly, can I throw in two underrated movies from the year?
Sure.
They came out this year, too. Shutter Island, has anyone seen that?
No.
I have the Blu-ray. It's sitting here on my shelf waiting for me to be watched.
I've heard stories about that movie. I've heard good and bad about it, so.
Well, I won't ruin anything, but like people don't like it because it's predictable, but it's still well done. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
The other one was Brooklyn's Finest, which is like a cop drama by the guy that did Training Day.
Yeah.
And that has anyone even heard of Brooklyn's Finest?
I did. It's Richard Gere and some other people in it, right?
Don Cheadle and
mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it or anything like that. So
it's a good movie. I think it's totally underrated. I don't know. Those are my two that I have left here on my screen.
I think that about wraps it up here for our episode zero. I'm trying to make this a weekly thing, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Sound good?
Shoot right. For it, sure. I'll have to have a little bit more drink beforehand, though, so I get full Fozzie mode.
Yeah. We'll get you some vodka.
We need some Kahlua as well.
Yeah.
Standard norm.
So, yeah, we'll probably do a, you know, kind of like what we've been playing, maybe throwing a little bit of news here and there.
Yeah.
What we've been watching, stuff like that, and maybe try and do like a topic where we can kind of yell at each other each week.
Well, I love yelling.
So yeah, that's it for episode zero. Great, you love yelling, or
great, love it.
Tony's all over to yelling at Fozzie. So
fuck you, noob.
Whatever.
I think I'm going to end it on just the fuck you noob and like
there you go.
So, yes, thank you guys for coming on. It's been fun.
And, yeah, man. Definitely keep this up.